Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15. Now, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15 says simply, "There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel." Let me read it again. "There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel." Gold is a highly desirable metal, and it's touted right now, particularly at times like this, as the secure investment that you ought to own against a falling dollar and against a weak economy. So you'll hear that a lot of times on talk radio. Various advertisers will advertise gold. You'll read about it in various types of publications, because people recognize it as a secure medium of exchange whenever the paper currencies have no value. So it's very desirable, and if you read in the Bible, you'll see that the accumulation of gold was very important to the kings, particularly that you read about in the Old Testament. And so in the Bible, gold is the metal of highest value, and things that are associated with God and things that are connected with God are gold. For instance, when you look at the tabernacle or you look at the temple, the ark was gold, the mercy seat was gold, the table of showbread was gold, the candlestick was gold, the altar of incense was covered in gold. So you see, these things are of great value. Gold thread was woven into the priest's garments and things like that. So gold, highest value in the Bible, and things that are connected with God are gold. So when the Bible says here there is gold and a multitude of rubies, he's telling you these are precious when it comes to things like jewelry. Now gold is very malleable and ductile. In other words, malleable, you can bend it, you can hammer it. Ductile, you can make it into something like thread. An ounce of gold can be stretched into a wire 35 miles long. Can you imagine that? I mean, you should look at an ounce coin of gold and imagine that little thing that fits in your pocket can be stretched into a wire that is 35 miles long. Gold can be beaten into sheets that are so thin, you can actually stack 250,000 thin sheets of gold, and they'll only be 1 inch thick. Now think about that. Next time you go to the office supply store and you see a ream of paper that's 500 sheets, and you'll see that thing is wider than an inch. It's, what is it? I don't know. It's like 1.75 inches, 2 inches, something like that, high. And, you know, if it's just your normal weight paper, 250,000 sheets of gold stacked are only 1 inch thick. So think about that when you compare that to a ream of paper. All right, now gold costs somewhere between $100 an ounce and $400 an ounce to mine. That depends on where and how it's mined and, you know, what the various tools are and numbers of people that are involved to try to get that out of there and to purify it. So somewhere between $100 an ounce and $400 an ounce is the cost to mine gold. The average cost last year was about $250 an ounce, all right? So it's very expensive to mine, but then, I mean, $250 just for an ounce of gold to mine it. But it is profitable as a mining metal because what's the market right now? You know, like around $600 an ounce or something. I haven't been keeping up with it on a daily basis, but, you know, you can see there's a great margin of profit there on the finished metal. The deal is it just takes a tremendous amount of work to extract the gold. You've got to go through a tremendous amount of soil or overburden in the mining process. And then, you know, if it's not completely pure, you've got to go through a purification process and so forth. So it's a very, you're going to work real hard and go through an awful lot of soil just to get an ounce of gold. And you got placer gold, which is stuff that they would mine and pan out of riverbeds and things like that. So, of course, there was a tremendous amount of work involved in that. When we were up in Alaska recently, we had an opportunity to see them take the overburden from the mining and run it through the chute and then put it in the pans and, you know, come out with some of the gold. And you work and you work and work and just get a little bit of gold out of a tremendous long day's labor. Now, the world's production of gold is estimated to be, I'm talking about it in all of history, 3.4 billion, not million, but 3.4 billion troy ounces of gold, which converts to 233.75 million pounds of gold since gold has been mined. That's 233,750,000 pounds of gold. When you consider the weight of a gold bar, all of the gold that has been mined in all of history then would comprise 8.5 million gold bars, or 8,500,000 gold bars. Those gold bars stacked together in a room would be about 8,000, a little over 8,000 cubic yards, 8,090 cubic yards, if my math is correct, which would be a cube of approximately 20 yards wide, or 60 feet wide, 60 feet high, and 60 feet deep. 20 yards wide, 20 yards high, and 20 yards deep. And that's it. Now think about that. If you're sitting up in the stands of a football field, and you look from the goal line to the 20-yard line, all right, that would be the cubic dimension of all the gold that's been produced in the world throughout all of history. That doesn't seem like much, does it? It's small in some respects when you consider it, you know, against all the earth that's had to been moved, or all the water that's in the world, or all the paper pulp that's in the world, or something like that. It seems like a very small amount of metal in some respects, but it's very plentiful when you consider its value. The current value of all of the world's production of gold throughout the centuries would be about $2 trillion. Now, when you think about that, and you think about the fact that the United States government currently has a direct debt of, what is it, $8 trillion or something like that? Well, there's not enough gold in the world to reduce the debt by a quarter. That's a scary thought. So by comparison, you see that the amount of gold is small in some respects, and certainly does maintain a very high value as a commodity and also as just a straight metal. All right, so that's on gold. And he says here, there is gold. Yes, there is. There is gold. About $2 trillion worth of gold, okay? There's also rubies. Ruby is a variety of the mineral species corundum. And it's a popular gemstone. As a matter of fact, as far as gemstones in the Bible are concerned, it's probably mentioned more often than other stones in the Bible. Large, really fine quality rubies are extremely rare, and they're also very valuable. These particular stones, rubies, are mined in various places in the world. You'll find them in Afghanistan, Kenya, Madagascar, formerly Burma, which is now called Myanmar, Sri Lanka, Tanzania, Thailand, Vietnam, and I think there may even be some discovery here in the United States of America. As of 2006, the record price paid at an auction for a single stone was almost $6 million, and the stone was a little over 38 carats. It was a special cut ruby, a Kabochkin cut ruby. All right, so when he compares the lips of knowledge to a precious metal, and he compares the lips of knowledge to a precious stone, he compares the lips of knowledge to gold and to rubies because of their value and rarity, and yet there is a certain amount of commonality to them because you know about them and you've seen them in various places. Now, when you compare gold and its tremendous value and rubies and their tremendous value to the lips of knowledge, then the Bible says the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Well, you know, that's probably really true. Think about it. Think about it now. Think about what people are willing to pay for knowledge, to get the lips of knowledge. Harvard College announced in March of this year that their tuition had increased nearly 5% for the 2006 and 2007 academic year, which brought the overall tuition for Harvard College to $43,655 per student. Now, think about that. I mean, just think about that. You know, what I was trying to find for you was a statistic, and I didn't, but you ought to look it up. It'd go well with the other statistics that you've heard here. How much the United States citizens and international students that come to the United States pay overall for tuition each college and university year. Harvard College, one student will pay almost $44,000 in tuition alone just to go to school there. Tuition and fees at a four-year public college would cost this year, average, 2006-2007, almost $6,000, $5,836 at a public college. And tuition and fees at private, not public, but private four-year colleges would cost this year $22,218, or just about half of what it costs to go to Harvard, as an average now for private four-year colleges per year. At four-year public schools, when you add room and board to tuition and fees, then the price is going to be almost $13,000 a year. And at a private college, the price is going to be just a little over $30,000 a year when you add room and board to the cost of tuition. That's what a college student is willing to pay, or his parents or her parents is willing to pay, or the scholarship or whatever. That's what they're willing to pay to go get a year of college education, to get a little knowledge. Now imagine that. Imagine that. When you think about what you could buy in terms of gold and silver for the same price, people are willing to pay a tremendous amount of knowledge, amount of money for knowledge. That's why when the Bible says there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel, you better believe it. Listen, if the price doesn't change, including tuition, fees, you know, and room and board, a four-year college program will cost a student or whomever's paying the bill over $121,000 in 4 years. That is a tremendous amount of money. So when a person goes to get that kind of education, he ought to be real sure that what he's paying for is, you know, worth what he's getting. Here's the trouble. According to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, with knowledge in general, okay, here's the problem. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, when you think about it, all the money that people are paying to go to colleges is spent primarily to get an education that will allow you to pursue a career in the field that you've chosen. In other words, it qualifies you eventually for employment so that you can, you know, get a nice job. They will say, well, where have you gone to college? And they pay more for a college-educated student than they do for a high school-educated student that doesn't have a college education. But what do you learn when you go there in the way of truth? That's the question. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. What do you learn in the way of truth? Well, if truth is founded in the fear of the Lord and is founded in the Bible, and the education there at the school is not a biblical education, then what it is a tradesman's education. That is, you are learning, as one preacher said, a vocabulary that qualifies you to speak knowledgeably in the field that you've chosen. As a doctor, you learn methods and procedures for diagnosing diseases, and they're called by Latin and Greek names that are long and complicated. They identify body parts by Latin and Greek names that are difficult and complicated, and they got to be memorized. It's a specialty. And you learn about surgery, and you learn about diseases, and you learn about controlling the diseases, and you learn about the organs of the body and how they function, and you learn about medications and medicines, and you learn about applications of these things. You learn about ethics in the field that you're going to practice because it involves people's lives. You learn about research and trends. You learn about things like cancer and heart disease and liver problems, and then you learn your specialty. If you're going to be an orthopedic surgeon and specialize in knees, then you learn all about the function of the knee and current trends in the various types of surgeries and therapies that are offered in order for the knee to continue to function well, and you'll learn about arthritis and all kinds of things. Well, when you've learned all that, you have learned the specialties that allow you to serve other people well, presumably, and to make a lot of money, and to become eventually an expert in your field and somebody in whom people can put confidence. All right? Imagine a doctor training for 10 years of school and then certain number of years of residency and so forth, and then actually going into practice and doing very well and never learning that Jesus Christ died to save his soul, and he's helped a lot of people to function better in life medically, and then when he dies, he winds up in hell because he never learned the truth. Wouldn't that be a tragedy? Wouldn't that be all the care and all the help that he gave to so many other people? And then in his own soul, he winds up forever. You know, the Bible in Burning in Hell, the Bible says, what shall a man give in his exchange for his soul? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So when you think in terms of knowledge and the accumulation of knowledge, it's wonderful to be able to get a great college education and then go and make a good living. But if you miss the knowledge of the truth in all of that, essentially, you've wasted your time. So when he says here, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel, he's not talking just about the accumulation of all the knowledge that all the college students in the United States of America and elsewhere can get. He's talking about something that's rare, something that's hard to find, something that you really have to work at to get. You see, knowledge from the words of God and finding someone who knows the words of God is more rare than gold and rubies. And the pursuit of knowledge from the Bible is of more value than the time and expense of finding gold and rubies. It's worth more to you. It's going to do more for you down the road. Now, I've got doctor friends of mine in several cities who are practicing physicians, and they are really good in their field. Generally, they are in general practice, the ones that I'm thinking of, but I'm also thinking of an oncologist. And they don't make it simply a practice to deal with your physical ailments. They gain the confidence of their patients to also tell them how to remedy their spiritual needs in Jesus Christ. So they fulfill their physical needs and their medical needs as well as their spiritual needs. They actually deal with the whole person. And there are numbers of people that have come to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of their ministries and the knowledge that they have of the Lord Jesus Christ and the opportunity that they use to bring that knowledge to other people who can be saved and then grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as a result of it is worth far more than their simple college education by itself. Far more. And it's rare. Very rare. So gold is desirable and it's very valuable, but it's also rare when you consider the total quantity that's been produced worldwide. Rubies, same way. They're the large, fine quality rubies are extremely rare and very valuable. And considering how much people are willing to pay for a college education, you would think they would want to know the truth. So, having seen what people are willing to pay for knowledge, and having seen that knowledge from the words of God and finding someone who has that knowledge is more rare than gold and rubies, then this, to have the knowledge of the words of God, to have the knowledge of truth in your lips is more valuable than to have the gold and rubies draping off of your body. But think about it. Men and women will spend no less than 8 hours a day, 5 days a week. No less than that. That's a 40-hour week. They'll spend more than that, usually 50 or 60 hours to accumulate a great deal of wealth, sometimes 70, 80 hours to accumulate a great deal of wealth. So they can go to the jewelry store or go to the jewelry makers and buy very, very, very fine, beautiful quality stones and beautiful quality gold, manufactured handmade jewelry, just beautiful stuff. And they'll work hard for that, and they will delight in wearing that. And then when it comes to simply sitting down quietly in the privacy of their home to study the Bible, they will not give the Bible nearly the quality of attention that they give to their job and to the selection of their jewelry. And yet to have the knowledge in your lips is a precious jewel and more valuable than to have the gold and rubies draping off of you. And yet we're topsy-turvy. The people won't spend the time to do that. I find even in my own life, as much as I'm in the Bible to preach and teach and things like that, that all the other earthly pursuits that are necessary in life really vie for my time in the Bible. And it's a shame. I have to really try to carve that time away in order to get into the book. Now, the Bible shows you that what I just told you is absolutely true. In this proverb, Proverbs 20, verse 15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Listen, David said so in Psalm 19. In Psalm 19, when he's talking about the words of God, he says, "More to be desired are they than gold." Well, as hard as people have to work and as much as people spend on working in the mines just to get an ounce of gold, that would indicate then if gold is more, the words of God are more desirable than gold, a man would work harder and go to greater expense to dig out the words of God. But they won't. Psalm 119, verse 72. The psalmist says very profoundly about the words of God, "The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver." So he said, if I had thousands of gold, yet I could have the law of thy mouth, he said, I'd rather have what you know, Lord, than I would to have all that gold. And that's true. That's wise. You know, we need to take real good counsel from that because we've got things flipped. We're spending all of our time on family matters and business matters and investment matters and insurance matters and, you know, how it goes. And those things have to be done in order for you to be able to put food on the table and support the Lord's work. I understand that. But not at the expense of taking away from your pursuit of learning the words of God. Job chapter 28, verse 18. Job says, "No mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies." Well, somebody paid $5,860,000 for a 38-carat ruby, and Job said, "Wisdom, the price of wisdom is far above, or is above rubies." And you know the interesting thing about that? We're giving you stuff directly from the Authorized King James Bible, 5 days a week, and don't charge you a dime. Doesn't cost you anything but your time. You see, sometimes the time is that is of the great value, not the expense in learning the words of God is what makes it so valuable because you got to work so hard at it. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. Another comparison to rubies. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11, talking about wisdom. Wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. So, man, we are reproved and we are rebuked by this little proverb here that says there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Wow. If wisdom is better than rubies, and the price of wisdom is above rubies, and the words of God are more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. What are we doing with our time? Listen, go ahead and keep on making the living you're making, okay? And use a good bit of that living, not only to take care of your family, but to support the Lord's work. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't allow that or the other things that you need to do to recreate yourself after the hard work you've done supersede your time in that Bible. When you get home from work or when you get up early in the morning, you ought to get that Bible out. You ought to have your Bible dictionary handy. You ought to have your concordance handy. You ought to have whatever else you need handy. And get in that Bible and start digging and asking God to help you find gold nuggets and rubies of wisdom inside of the words of that book. And dig and dig and dig. And let me tell you something else. You ought to be very careful in selecting where you're going to go to hear preaching and teaching from the words of God. If you're going to spend the time doing that anyway, it ought to do more than tickle your ear and scratch your itch and entertain your flesh. It ought to teach you and help you to learn things upon which you can hang your life. Things of truth that will cause you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. I've had the opportunity to travel around the country. There are a number of places where you can get that, where the Bible preaching and the Bible teaching is good. I realize that maybe you got to search around, but hey, those miners have to search around and find that gold. Those miners have to search around and find that ruby. They're not easy to find. And they have to go to great lengths and great distances and spend a lot of time and spend a lot of money getting that stuff together. So if you have to go to a little effort to find that, then why not go through the effort? It's worth it. God told you, listen, you're trying to value everything off the financial statement that you produce every year for the bank. And God said, quit looking at the financial value of the gold and rubies that you've accumulated and start thinking in terms of the things that I value. And he tells you, wisdom is better than rubies. The price of wisdom is above rubies. And consider when you're educating your children how much you're already spending to educate them in a college education so that they can make a good living too. And consider, hey, isn't it worth it to you to spend a lot of time and perhaps even money to gain that type of knowledge from the Bible for your children so that they have something on which they can live for eternity? Absolutely, according to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 15, let us not be lax and let us spare no expense of time or money to gain that knowledge of the truth that God wants us to have and to live by that knowledge with wisdom. And God help you in your pursuit.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.